this is our bonus episode, because if you just listened to our review of Poor Things and how we were gushing over it for a little over an hour, then you know that we are also recording Late Night with the Devil.
Yes. Late Night with the Devilettes.
I wish. And I listen, if you want to be our sound engineer, our, you know, person that does all the editing, and you want to add some sound effects or some visual effects to that pause that we had right there, by all means, let me know. But I'm not about to do all that. The pause was for and if you're watching it, then you saw my eyes were still moving. We were not frozen. But, you know, it is what it is.
We were making facial expressions. This is why you have to watch us. So yeah. You can see all the ridiculousness behind the quiet.
Yes. So Late Night with the Devil was a movie we went to see Sunday. And for me, it was a choice between watching this or watching Immaculate. And I got to say that I went with, I know you had already watched Immaculate and I had not seen either of them. And I went with Late Night with the Devil because it was rated higher on IMDb than Immaculate. Now, I probably will enjoy Immaculate more just because of what it is. I see that there's a nun involved. And so, you know, that religious horror is my thing. So I'm probably going to enjoy that more than I did this. Although I do enjoy movies about demonic possession. Stories with demonic possession is right up my alley. I love that. This one, Chantel, I don't have as much to say about it. I know you were going to have to take it away and do all the talking about this, because I know you walked away like, oh yes, I really love that. And I was like, It was just okay. Like, I liked it. I don't have anything bad to say.
Well, okay. Yeah, I get it, because you were, when it came to Terrifier, you were like, oh, I loved it. And I was like, yeah, okay, it was a killer clown. Like,
and then you see. Yeah. And then you said this one was really gory. And I was like, was it? I mean, I saw some blood, I guess, but, you know, it's like, okay.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, we did see a stomach get ripped open and worms fall out of it and a giant worm pop out of an eye. But yeah, we just saw a little blood.
Yeah. Well, you know, Terrifier is, since you brought him up.
That's different.
Since you brought Art up, that is like that on steroids, because that's like the whole, all the way through, that's what he's doing. He is ripping people to shreds, yeah. And it's a torture fest. But okay, so this Late Night with the Devil is like, take David Letterman or a talk show host. It's set in the 1977 broadcast, and I know Chantel really loves that atmospheric thing also. I just felt like it was old, and I don't mean good old. I like period pieces old. This just kind of felt like I was like a little girl again watching black and white television. And
let me set it up for you guys. Okay. This show was supposed to be based on found footage of a TV show filmed in the 70s. So when we were watching the show that was being aired, it was in color. I'm doing quotation marks because it was in that very, very dull 70s color television. Mm-hmm. And then when we saw the stuff being recorded in between the commercial breaks, because it was supposed to be a live event, it had happened live. So everything else was on a black and white film. Now, I'm not 100% sure how, if this was a document, it wasn't being filmed as a documentary. Again, you have to let your imagination stretch, because there's no way that we would have caught the conversations we caught, you know, as found footage. So, you know, it's not really found footage, but that's what they're setting it up to be.
Yeah, exactly. And this felt like Do you remember that scene in the Joker movie when the Joker, he goes on Murray, what's his name, Murray? It was Robert De Niro's character. He goes on his talk show and he's sitting down and he ends it by shooting him in the head. It felt very much like somebody watched that and was like, you know what would be a good idea? And they ran with it. That's what this felt like to me. Like, they were like, this would be a great idea, but we just make a whole movie about this talk show, this one little scene right here. Okay, so for one, I don't really like talk shows. And this felt like watching a talk show. And now, I love our talk show. You know what I mean? No, I mean the late night talk shows. I don't really watch them like that. And I grew up with them being on the television and not liking them. Like they were in a background thing. Not that my parents really watched them, but when they did come on, because the TV just stayed on too late, and probably my dad was working shifts and my mom just fell asleep and it happened to be on. But it doesn't leave me with a great impression, for one. So that I'm just coming into the television setup like that, just letting you know where my head is when I'm watching this. The 70s were not a particularly happy period of time for me either. So around 77, I was a toddler at 77, so I wouldn't have remembered that. But I mean the 70s period during that time, that whole television thing is just, I don't like watching things in that era. And so, but this, the story itself is about, it's kind of like somebody wants to be famous. And they want to be rich so bad that it leads them to the Illuminati and blood sacrifices. Would that be accurate?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So it was a little bit like, the Rosemary Baby, where you have a cult, like in the background of all this, that's worshiping the demon Abraxas. And you have some of that going on. And then the 70s was a huge time for that because you had all the Aleister Crowley crew, Timothy LeVay, was that his name?
Anthony LeVay.
That's what it was, Anthony. Yeah. And so this was the time of all that blowing up. And they did talk about that in the beginning. But I love anything set in the 70s. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Love that movie because it was all 70s. Even the Black Phone, wasn't it called? The Black Phone?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All that. I love these things. It's just one of those things I love. The Corduroy. I love the fall time. You know, there was just, you know, as I got older in that era, those are the things that I liked, was being outside, observing the outside, and seeing that aspect of the world around me. But this particular movie I was getting into, for one, because I've been writing a story for the last year about Abraxas. So I thought it was really funny that happened in this movie. I was like, because nobody talks about this particular entity. So I thought, well, this is interesting. I'm kind of intrigued now. Two, because it's possession, and everybody knows I'm doing religious horror right now, and so I really am interested in seeing different perspectives of possession. And three, I love anything supernatural. I'm a supernatural horror junkie. You like the gory, the more splatter the better. I am supernatural all the way. And to me, the conclusion of this particular movie at the very end, what happens with the girl, was just like orgasmic to me. I was like, that was fantastic. I loved what she physically happened to her. I love the things that happened to the talk show host. That was right in the line of all that cult, you know, think, and you know, where these multi-dimensions can lead to. So all that is my jam right now. So I was in love with everything that was happening in this film.
Oh, I get that. And let me correct myself. It's Anton LaVey. So, you know, he was like, what, the father of Satanism or something? Yeah. Anton Zandor LaVey. I think he was attributed with founding the Church of Satan and the religion of Satanism. Yes. So, So for me, so, you know, we've already mentioned like that scene in Joker. You mentioned Rosemary's Baby. You mentioned Exorcist. And then, so it's like, it does feel like a bunch of different things were thrown into a pot and shaken up and then kind of thrown up in the air. And then on top of that, a late night talk show host. So it's not bad. Like, okay, I agree with you with the supernatural aspect and all that. It's not bad. It's not. I guess for me, so much weight was put on building the talk show part up. And it is important to kind of understand who he is and how he makes the decisions he makes and how he ends up where he is. That is kind of important, I guess. But that part, it's called a slow burn for a reason. That part was kind of slow in the buildup so that we learned so much about him as this talk show host that when the gore and everything started, I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying the gore part. I'm enjoying when the exorcist comes in. I'm enjoying when even the psychic, we got this psychic that's having these issues. I was enjoying all of that, and I wish it had been more of that and less about him, because I really didn't care about him. But I guess you got to care about him in order to kind of feel for.
I don't know that that was their goal for us to care about him necessarily. I think the goal was for us to care about the girl who was possessed.
I didn't care about her either.
Because. I think, well, the only reason I think that they wanted that was because of how protective her caregiver was about her. But really, I think the overall goal for the talk show thing was just to show this happen live. And everybody who watched it saw this. And no one has seen it since it was showed live. So I think that was what they were trying to push. And the movie was like, no one has seen this since it happened live in the 70s, you know, so we found this footage. And so I think, you know, they had the, what was that first movie that they did that found footage with the shaky camera? And it was The Witch in the Woods. I can't even remember the name.
Blair Witch Project.
So it was kind of trying to capture some of that. Also, there was a movie that I actually loved, except for the last 30 seconds of the movie, called the Ghost Hunter movie, or it was like First Ghost Hunter or New Ghost Hunter or Ghost Hunter or something like that. And it was actually pretty cool. I really enjoyed it, except the last 30 seconds. Again, I feel like it was just trying to capture that psychedelic, otherworldly, other, you know, dimensional feel in this movie. I don't know. If you enjoy that sort of horror, you're going to really enjoy this. And especially if you're cool with seeing 70s, you know, I think part of it too is because in my mind, my father had the long chops, like my whole life, and the big thick mustache. So when I see stuff like that, I'm like, oh, you know, it's reminiscent of my childhood, good parts of my childhood. So it makes me happy. But I can tell you that, I mean, some of it was a little bit hokey. I definitely felt there was some hokiness to it, but that was right on par with the 70s because we were coming out of the 50s and the 60s where there was this big revolution of things and men were changing and being different than what they used to be. This guy was a typical male. He was trying to be the good guy on the outside, but he was really not a good guy. And that was something that we were shown. What I would have liked to have known, I tell you what did leave me a little confused, did he get put in jail for the killings that happened? Did he go insane and get in? They just cut it off and that was it. Right. So I would probably have to rewatch it to see if they talk about that in the beginning, because I don't really recall anything about what happened to him.
Right. I don't either. And if this is supposed to be based on a true story, his ass should have been locked up at the end for what happened. You know, I got to say also, as I was watching this, I was trying to guess, as I do, what's going to happen next. And I'm always pleased when it's unpredictable. I felt like I knew where this was going. Like I already, you know, was like, okay, this is going to have, I was already thinking the whole time about what was going on with the wife. So I already suspected what was happening with her and her being the actual ghost and making the contact and all that. I had already suspected this occultism and him being tied to that. I had already suspected that how he was going to end up stabbing the other girl at the end. You know what I mean? So none of those were surprises. So I didn't feel the twists either, the way that would have made a difference to me. Like, if I'd have felt those twists, like, oh my God, I didn't see that coming, then I probably would have had a different perspective too. As it is, you know, I just kind of watching a movie and it's like, oh, okay, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. Oh, okay. And then it's over. That's just how I felt about it. But I will say this, because what we were just saying about Poor Things, I do appreciate that this is different. Like, this is not something we see all the time. Yeah, we talk. We mention a bunch of different movies that might have scenes like them thrown into it, but they're all from different movies, not one movie. It's not the same thing, and done in this way, where it is from a 70s set on a talk show. Like, we don't see that all the time. A whole movie with that one set like that. So I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that this is not a regurgitation of the same things that we see over and over and over again, that they did bring something fresh and new to the horror genre. I do like that.
Yeah, and for sure. And I'm just a weirdo that I like these specific things, especially right now, because that's exactly what I'm writing. I'm writing possession, and I'm writing about cult stuff, and I'm writing about Abraxas. So, of course, for me, it was like, ooh, this is so great. Like, oh, my God, if people like this movie, they're going to like the craziness I'm writing right now.
Yeah, I remember you said that you mentioned Abraxas, and that was something I hadn't heard of before. Like, I've written about demonic possession. I even have done a lot of demon names and the different realms that they're in and all that, but I hadn't heard of Abraxas or done any study on that. So I think for you, like I told you then, that synchronicity should let you know, like, you're right on the right track. Like, this is exactly what you should be doing right now. Whereas my writing is kind of all over the place right now.
You know, we do what we do. This is why we are women, because we like to do what we do.
Yeah.
And fuck everybody else, they don't like it. What would Bella Baxter do? That's my new saying. I'm going to get that tattooed on me. What would Bella Baxter do?
What would Bella Baxter do? Okay, now, I said a minute ago that I didn't care about the girl. And what I mean is, I didn't care about what happened to her one way or another. I didn't care about any of these characters at all. I will say that the actress herself, I thought, did a fantastic job. She did phenomenal job. She was one minute looking sweet and innocent and just dainty and pretty, and the next minute she was terrifying.
Yes.
So I really like her, and I know we're going to be seeing her a lot more. Hopefully she'll do something else in the horror genre, because she's got a knack for it.
She was great.
Yeah.
Hopefully as she ages, she stays in the field of horror, and she just wows us with new and exciting things. If she brought this much energy already. I will say that I felt like, I would have to say she was probably the best thing in all of the film.
I agree.
Her character, her as an actress, like everything she brought. Everybody else felt really predictable, like you said. Everybody was like a caricature. But she wasn't. And that was because she was the possessed one. It really made her, it really made you feel like something was different about her.
Yeah.
And she did such a good job of being out of sync with everything happening around her, which is exactly what I would expect a possessed person to do, right? Because as a possessed person, you're supposed to be able to be in various dimensions at once, know so many things that nobody else is aware of, because you're like plugged in, if you will, to this other worldly dimensions and all these other beings that, you know, they're evil, but you know what they know, and you are all knowing. At least that's what demonology tells us. When possessed people are possessed, they tend to know things that are happening on the other side of the world that you would be able to know about, or the person being possessed shouldn't be able to know about things that happened in the past. you know, that the person should not have access to, you know. So there's all these, it's like one of those things, right? If you're sitting here, like say you guys are sitting here talking to me and you're looking behind me and you see all these things on my wall, and then like you pay attention to me and then you look and then everything behind me is switched, right? So this picture that you see here is in the back, and all that stuff from the back is right here. So that weird, like what just happened feeling, but that actress, she played that, like she presented that, like you felt like something was, she was completely something else. Now you're checking to see if everything where it should be.
Let me see what my people are doing behind me. just checking on my skulls and making sure everybody's where they're supposed to be.
So, I mean, hell, if y'all think this is scary me talking about it, imagine when you read the shit. But no, but that's what I like about that character. She did, like, now you're making me think about that. She did bring the real horror, the real discomfort, the real uncertainty. She brought it in her smiling and her way that she was like, oh, what should I do now? Real sweet and innocent. And then she's looking at the camera and there is something in her eyes that you're like, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That bitch is creeping me out.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead. I look this lady up. I want to mention her name here because I don't think we've seen the last of her for sure. This is Ingrid Torelli. She played Lily Diabo.
Yes.
Lily. She played Lily, but her name is Ingrid.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure.
Keep an eye out for you, Miss Ingrid.
Yeah. Ingrid did her thing, and she has really pretty eyes, too. Like, there's so much that they can do with her in horror just based on her eyes alone. Because they're really bold. They kind of draw you in, but then they're really pretty, but also really scary. Like, if you're looking too long.
You know so. What? I will say this. People who love the series Pearl and X, that girl, and she was in another movie too last year that played the character in Pearl, who was the younger version of the old lady who was the murderess in X. I think people see... they see her and they think, oh yeah, you know, she's this great, this girl that played Lily would be, if she had been older, would have been the most disturbing Pearl. Like, it would have been so disturbing because she, you look at her and you feel like you feel safe, but then you're like, I don't feel safe. This girl's got something, like there's depth there. And, and I think what, in the movie, she's supposed to be like 15, 16. In real life, she's probably like, you know, 20 or something, but there's something, like, she really has something, that actress, and I really can't wait to see what she does next. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I would say, you know what, my second favorite, though, let me see, what's his name? There was someone that played the skeptic.
The skeptic.
Yeah, so let me see. Ian Bliss played Carmichael Haig. That was Carmichael, right?
Yes. Carmichael,
well, that was the character's name? Am I saying the right person?
I don't remember.
I think that's the right one. He played the skeptic. But he, you know, the reason I like what he brought to it is that he was kind of balancing out what was happening. So we're seeing some supernatural things happening. And then you're wondering, is it supernatural or can it be explained away with something else? And so it was good. He kind of kept the story going. Like, you know, if this was just completely supernatural, then it probably would have been boring, like right from the jump. And I never said boring. Like, I didn't think anything about this movie was boring. Even with the slow burn. Slow burn is not necessarily boring, you know. It just had a whole lot more of the talk show element than some of the other elements I would have liked. But slow burn is not bad. But he also kind of added another layer. Like, even when we had this guy who was a psychic out there, and And, you know, the first thing he kind of threw out there may or may not have landed. And then he comes in and he goes right in for this family. And it kind of is like, yeah, yeah, he is really hearing their loved one, their dead loved one. And, you know, and then later the skeptic is going around and he's asking questions. So it feels very much like this is supernatural for sure. And then the skeptic comes back and he's like, oh, so what kind of questionnaire did you answer before you came here and sat down? So I like that. I like that the whole time he was questioning everything. And also because when he found out for sure that it was supernatural, then you know, because at the moment he discovered there was no going back, it was too late. By the time he knew for sure, oh, this is all real, there was no coming back. Like, it was too late. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay, like, no amount of money is going to save your life now. It's too late. Like, it's done.
Yeah. Yes, your ass is grass.
Yeah. You don't and found out.
Exactly. But, you know, this might be a good tale for us crazy girls who like to go in the middle of the night and try to find ghosts. Like, maybe we should be careful.
Right, you gotta have
more.
You gotta have the skeptics, and then when you know, when they know that is for sure, it's too late. Like, you all discovered, you have discovered that there really is something evil lurking in that cemetery, but it's too late now.
Yeah, should have done left well enough alone.
That's it, you know. And speaking of should have done left. Do you think those people in the audience should have done left?
Oh, girl. They were running out. They were like stampeding to get the fuck out of there.
Bruh, as soon as old girl's voice did not sound like herself anymore, I'd have been out. I'm sorry. I'm not going to stick around to find out. Like, I've heard enough already. I have seen enough already. And you know what, Chantel? Here's something else that you might find interesting.
That's why there was there any Black folk in the audience? Girl, they done
stuff. I didn't see it. They would have ran out too. They would have been gone. They would not have been sitting there while all this stuff is happening. No way. No how. When the girl started
levitating. That bitch done levitating.
She was levitating. I would have been gone. Like, no, I'm not waiting around to find out anything else. And I tell you, this is where I want to tell you. I'm so funny about stuff like that, that even in the movie, as they started showing that spiral that they were hypnotizing people with, I had my hand up like this. Okay. You're not going to get me. Uh-uh. You're not going to get me through the film. No, ma'am. I had my every single time that little spiral came up on the window, my hand went just like this to cover it up. No, I'm not playing with it. No, you're not about to hypnotize me in this movie.
Oh my Lord.
No, ma'am. I was like, I don't know what kind of hocus pocus is going on in this screen, but as soon as it came up and I saw, I was like, nope.
I tend to get dizzy when I'm watching it on a big screen, so I'll kind of look in the corner when I feel a little off. But other than that, I didn't care about that.
Mm-mm, no, ma'am.
Y'all don't even know. Well, I'm probably going to see it again because there's definitely things that happen so quickly. And I'm like, I really don't remember what happened to this, and I don't know about that. And of course, I have to get all the details. I must know all the details again because I just loved it. I adored everything about it. It was hokey. And I think as a writer, it could have been smoother. There could have been a little more complexity added to this film. But the overall concept was fun. And I enjoyed the demon. I enjoyed its killing murderous spree. And I, I enjoyed the... What I really thought was fun, because we don't get to see this often in the films, is that they combined And that's why I said Rosemary's Baby, but they combine this possession, this exorcist-like possession, with the element of the secret society. And then they smushed them together. And so we've seen those things in film together before, but never like colliding like we did. And unless we're talking like Rosemary's Baby, I think that was the last time we saw. And there was another one that a friend of mine had me watch that had a very ritualistic aspect that had regurgitated or whatever a demon had come from, and all the death that happened. It wasn't nearly as fun, because the thing that humans tended to do, especially in that era, you remember, was also the birth of the psychedelics. So there was so much of that really was all the psychedelics, psychotropic, like just this crazy psychotic visions and things happening, which is what happened at the end. He started seeing shit, mm-hmm. and then he ended up committing a murder. But I feel like a lot of times films, and that's why I didn't like the end of that one movie, because they just take off on that psychedelic trip and they leave you hanging. And it's like, mm-hmm. they just went crazy. And I'm like, you know, I think that's probably why I don't get so excited about Art the Clown, because I'm like, he's just cutting people up and, you know, corn syrup's everywhere. I enjoy the show. I do, but it's not like I'm going, oh my God, I can't wait to the next Terrifier. No, I don't feel that way. But I think I like the fact that they show what this demon does. They walk us through the trip, and then there's an actual something that happens in reality from what he just went through. And so it was almost like a full circle, at least, of what they started. And that I can applaud. I mean, at least we saw the story from the beginning till the completion, until the end. And it was even in the credits, they still put a little disclaimer, this found footage belonged to so-and-so. And they were really like going with that, like they were keeping with that. So I thought that was cute. Like, okay, I get what you're doing. I see. None of these actors look that familiar to me. I don't really recall them in any other shows. However, it was 70s, so they did have a lot of makeup and wigs and shit on. So I don't know. They could have been people that I reckon would have recognized without all that.
Yeah, I've seen David Dasmalchian, and I'm sorry if I am butchering his name. I don't know. That last name is... it's difficult for me to say, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering it. I know I'm butchering it. I'm sorry. But he was the main character. He was the talk show host, and he's been in other stuff before. He was in The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Okay.
I haven't seen Oppenheimer, but he was in that. He was in The Boogeyman. So you've seen him. Yeah.
Okay. It was probably the chops that were throwing me off, girl. Yeah, those big old long 70s chops.
He was in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So he's been around. He was in What If. Okay. He was in Dune, The Suicide Squad. You know what I mean? So he's been around. But I will say this. I've seen his face in films, but he's never really stood out to me that much. And I know whoever's a fan of his is glad to see him as the leading man in this film. And so kudos to him on that. He didn't do it for me, though. Like, if he was not the main character, I probably wouldn't have really noticed, other than he's got a familiar... Something here in his nose is familiar. What kind of last name is that? Is that German, Russian, what?
I'm not sure. But yeah. I do know, like, one of the things I liked about what he did with his role... At the end of the film, when he's going through all this horrifying experiences, he transforms physically. Like when you first see him, you see this kind of like entertaining guy who seems somewhat scarred through all his, you know, turmoil he's been through. And he's kind of just doing his thing. And then in the end, I just saw this shell of a person that had no idea that, like, he was lost and he didn't really know, even when his wife was alive, what he should do. Like, I felt like he was just a lost man, period. And I saw him transform into that in the end. So he did a good job to me, too. I mean, he wasn't as great as the girl who played Lily. But I do feel like he did a good job in the end when he was going through the psychedelic trip about everything. I did feel like he looked very different than when we first started. All of that kind of innocent, like, oh, I didn't know. Oh, like that kind of like, oh, all that was gone. And you could see that the truth was in front of him and he was shattered. He was just this exposed, raw, weak, ignorant child. And I felt like I saw that in him. So, you know, maybe it might do you some good to watch, fast forward through that other stuff and rewatch just the main stuff again.
You know, at some point. What you just said is interesting, though, because people say that that's what happens when people sell their soul. And I'm doing air quotes for anybody that's just listening and not watching. For people who sell their soul to the devil or sell their soul for riches and fame, they say that they become a shell of who they are, who they were, and it's like a whole different entity takes over. Earlier today, I was watching this TikTok from this lady named Sloan, and she's been making all kinds of predictions. I'm not quite sure if she's supposed to be a psychic or a medium. I'm not sure where she claims to be getting her inner knowledge and her wisdom and her, I don't know if she's clairvoyant or, you know. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with her because I don't follow her. She's been popping up lately because of the P. Diddy stuff that's happening because she made some predictions about him and some other people, and people are saying that she's been spot on. But I listened to her talk about a lot of the elite people, a lot of the rich people, and how they have sold their souls. And now what you're seeing is not really them, but this entity that has come in and taken over. And so if you look really closely at them, you'll see that they're not really them anymore. It is this new entity and that they're harnessing all the power and everybody's attention. And I mean, I have thoughts on what she's saying. It's a conversation for another day. Like, we can go and go all down the rabbit hole in that. But I do find it interesting that what you say you saw in this actor and how you could tell he metamorphosed.
It's getting late.
I'm trying to make it a verb. Morphed into this empty vessel. When you saw that, then I guess that would be hand in hand with the character that he's playing. If he has been someone who has gone down the path of selling his soul in order to have, making a sacrifice in order to have the riches, in order to have, he's competing on a level with for ratings and for attention. He's harvesting attention from people, the viewers and the studio audience and the guests, and he's trying to make as much money as possible, and he's trying to get the recognition that he feels he deserves. He's trying to be the top talk show host. You know, he's competing with who? Letterman, I think? Or was it King? Larry King?
Letterman,
okay.
No, I thought it was Letterman. Yeah.
Letterman, okay. So he's competing with him, and you know how it is. I remember there was, and nowadays, you know, there's so much thrown around about the Illuminati, that I remember there was some website that had, like, this is where you can go to reach out to the Illuminati. And I saw comment after comment after comment after comment. It kind of blew me away. Thousands of comments of people saying, who do I need to sacrifice? What do I need to do? Like, I am tired of this life. I'm tired of struggling to get by. Whatever it takes, that's what I'm gonna do. And so that's why I find it interesting when people say, I'm not listening to Beyonce anymore. Sloan had mentioned, like, you should be really paying attention what kind of celebs, you know, nobody wants to hold celebs up on a pedestal anymore. But hearing this And then seeing how like Diddy is falling, and they're saying that Jay-Z is going maybe next, and or that Bieber might be on the chopping block, all this. And it's like, but what would you all do if you could trade places with them? If you could be, if someone came to you and said that you don't have to struggle anymore, that you can live the life that you've always wanted, the riches, the fame, traveling, not having to work doing this 9-to-5 gig that you hate and all that. I saw thousands of comments saying they would do whatever it took. So some of this stuff sounds more like jealousy and envy to me than it does, yeah. Oh my God, the veil is falling and these people have sold their souls to the devil. So I don't want to listen to their music or watch them anymore. Okay, but so you're telling me that you wouldn't want to be rich and famous?
Yeah. You know, and it's so funny because it's such a catch-22. Like, you work so hard to get your talent in front of people and people enjoy your talent. And then the minute that your talent is there and being enjoyed and being loved, the hate starts coming. You know, there's only a few people that went through fame and still held on to their fame even after the hate. Madonna being one of them. Even Michael Jackson. He was a big, I think, one of them. Someone like Prince could have never received hate because his talent was so big that nobody could overpower that. He was so beyond talented in so many realms. I feel like Beyonce should be above approach. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, what's happened with her, but I feel like she's got, I mean, incredible talent. Her talent is very, very visible. Taylor Swift is still up there and she ain't coming down off her pedestal. So I think, you know, we were talking about this the other day. It's easy to get caved in and think that what you're doing is either not good or not good enough. And you don't want the limelight on you because you feel like people are going to come for you because of it. And you feel like I'm going to cave in when they start coming. And we ourselves are watching some of that happen in our lives around people that we know. And so, and we're just authors and a couple of girls who have 5 listeners, you know? So, you know, I can't imagine, you know, when you see these real famous people, I mean, 2020 must have done a number on their heads because they were gods to be, you know, frank in the world. And then all of a sudden they were just humans afraid to go outside like everybody else. Yeah. And then the truth started coming out. Some of them needed the limelight to just be. So they started doing podcasts and they started doing whatever they could to get people to look at them and see them again. And so honestly, those are the people I would probably say sold their soul because the little demon inside of them needed to be seen. You know, that those are the people that were like, oh, I'm relaxing. Fuck this shit. I ain't got to go. I ain't got to be in the limelight. Good. I got a fucking vacation, you know?
I'll tell you, and I know I went down that rabbit hole that I said I don't want to go down, but we're here now. But it's like, so one day if our books blow, one day when our books blow up, it could happen tomorrow, right? This episode here or any of our episodes, someone could stumble across it that can really change our lives tomorrow. And, or we could come into some creative idea that changes it overnight. And the fact that we go into a whole different stratosphere, making all the money we want, traveling all the ways we want, doing all that, somebody is going to say, oh, they sold their souls to the devil.
And it was for $5.99.
Even though we've been grinding on this. Yeah. For years, we've been putting this in, like when people are asleep at night, we are writing. That's been my life, right? That I am putting the work in. I am constantly doing something for somebody to say, Well, the reason you got to where you are is because you sold your soul to the devil. Now, let me also say this. Now, I don't know Sloan or any of them for that matter. And I also don't profess to know everything. So I can't say any of it's not true. Everybody could have sold his soul to the devil for all I know. I don't know. So I'm not making any declarations. Like, I'm not even saying I don't believe it. Like, can somebody have? Sure. But I am finding it interesting that it seems that whenever you reach some level of success, it's like you can't reach the level of success without being demonic. You can't, apparently. It seems like the logic is that you can only just be toiling away and working. But if you happen to jump up and become rich, then it is only because you did some sort of blood sacrifice. And then it seems like every time somebody dies around these rich people, oh, that was a blood ritual. They sacrificed them. They killed them so that they could reach the next level. Like, does anybody just actually die anymore? Does anybody actually die?
Well, but think about what you're saying. And this goes back to our last episode with Bella Baxter and Poor Things. She reached a level of happiness, a goal, if you will, success in who she was and happiness that people are always striving to be. And you don't think that other people that wanted to put her down weren't saying, not necessarily she sold her soul to the devil, but that she just, you know, she had the money, so she could just afford to do those things. You know what I mean? It's always the way of the world. People don't want to observe, even the people in your life right now don't want to, like women who have husbands that work all day and you're caring for the house, or husbands who have a woman that works all day and you're caring for the house. Mm-hmm. You don't get the level of appreciation that mm-hmm. you, because they don't see. If they mm-hmm. don't see it, they think it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. And these, you know, people are okay while you're grinding. It's like, oh, okay, you're working hard. Okay, you got some talent. Okay. So all these people that were fans of Beyonce, like, oh, she's really good. She's good. She's going to be a star one day. She's going to be a star. And then she becomes a star. And then it's like, well, it's just because of blah, blah, blah. Or it's because of blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I read a lot of comments on Sloan's post earlier. And a lot of people were like, I used to be a fan, but now I'm not. Well, it's like, because now she's unreachable. Now she's reached a level past what you thought she was going to be able to get. So now there has to be all kinds of supernatural forces. Now, I'm not saying there's not. Or, I don't know what is going on, but I just find it interesting that this is whenever someone achieves some level of success, this is when all this chit chat happens.
Oh, I know. Well, haters are going to hate, girl. That's just the way it is.
Right. So just know that I don't give a fuck if y'all think I sold to the devil, okay? And in fact, for the right price, I don't have a problem in actually doing that, okay? Now, I'm not going to sacrifice anybody. But, you know, I had a miscarriage before I had my son. I feel like maybe that should be the sacrifice. There was a lot of blood involved. So can we just say that I've already done my sacrifice then? So, and I've already put in my time and my hours, and I've already worked, had all these ideas that one day when I blow up, it could be tomorrow, it could be the end of the week, whatever, that I'm okay with you saying I sold my soul to the devil. That's fine.
I love it. And how that tied in. Oh yeah, it tied in because we're talking about the talk show host selling his soul.
Right. That's where I was going with it, because you mentioned that the actor himself looked vacant. You said that he morphed into a different, he looked vacant, where he looked like he was having he was a person who was innocent and trying to do the thing
totally different. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't have much to say.
You know, I always got a lot to say. It just takes the right buttons to push.
Absolutely.
And what's funny is I don't say a whole lot like on social media. I I don't even talk that much. I'll post some stuff and put a little caption in it, but I do lazy posts instead of trying to go on and talk. Like, I can't really, I've had difficulty in the past anyway, putting my words together and getting whatever I want to say succinctly, but I can come on here and yap, yap, yap. And also, I think it might be because, no, I was going to say because we don't have a live audience, but no, it's not like I don't do anything differently. I know what it is, and this is probably what I do need to do for social media. I'm just talking to you. You and I are just talking, and that's probably how I need to approach filming my TikToks, just talking. But I think when we were talking the other day, you mentioned about being perceived. Like, when you go out now, people are recognizing you, and there's that, oh, hold up now. You're already having that, I got to get used to people coming up to me and people saying stuff when I don't know who they are. And once you get used to that, then I think you welcome more of it. And I think the celebrity energy, the star energy, is one of those things that kind of feed on itself. I think it's just a theory of mine.
Okay.
You got to get comfortable with being perceived.
I guess you're right. I'm used to being the creepy little ghost girl in the room.
That's fine. Continue to be the creepy little ghost girl, because that's going to inspire somebody to be themselves. There's another creepy little ghost girl that's going to be like, oh, Chantel can do it. I could be me too.
There you go.
All right.
Anyway, I think we have plenty to say.
Yeah, we have talked about this and even gotten into some other stuff. Sloan, if you happen to hear about this, I'm not saying anything bad about you, hon, because you could be right. I don't know. I also don't care if they sell themselves or not. I don't care if anybody sells their souls to the devil. What's that got to do with me?
Ask for some cheese whiz too, guys, because you got to eat while your soul is being sold.
Now, let me ask you this. His wife was already dying of cancer.
Well, she had died in the show. She had already died. When he started that show, she was dead. She had died like 2 years before that or something.
This is a good question then. Then if he had already died, if she had already died, I mean, he brought her on the show as she was dying, right?
Yes.
Okay. So she was already dying of cancer is what I mean. And then he stabbed her?
So she had been dead. So what it was, they were showing the history of their relationship when they had met, and she'd helped them throughout the years on the show. And then she got sick and he brought her on the show. And, you know, she was there on the show sick, and then she died and he disappeared for like, I don't know, like a whole 6 months or something. And then he showed back up all of a sudden and he was ready to start again, but he was angry and acting out. And then they said, you know, he kind of hit rock bottom. So he was genuinely trying to start over again, but it looked like the series was about to be canceled. So they scheduled the special showing that night on Halloween night during sweeps, and they had scheduled special guests to see if they could get the ratings to go up. So the wife had been gone already for at least a year or two. So he was hallucinating at the end that she was there. She wasn't there. You have to watch it again. I could see you were not paying attention, or you were tired or something.
You know, I thought I had most of everything figured out, but there might be some things that I missed or mixed up.
Well, this is a good show, you guys, when it comes out on video, to have like a discussion group with friends. Like, let's break this show down together, because this is one of those shows that's very layered with different perspectives of what sacrifice is and what love is. And again, like, I think before, like, they were kind of looking, they were saying things, hinting that even before he was with his wife, or while he was with his wife before she got sick, he was wandering and very lost. And so that's when he got involved in the Abraxas cult. And from there, according to the demon that was possessing Lily, that's why his wife was sacrificed through sickness, so he could grow and become famous because of it. But like Lily told him when they were in the, before the show started, oh, I think you're going to be very well known by the time this show's over.
Yes. I can't wait to see Ingrid in whatever she has coming up next.
Yes. I love that girl. She's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for watching our episode, and stay tuned for more. We got more guests coming up and we have more exciting shows, and I want to do Super Sex next, but you got to watch the TV.
Yes.
The series.
Super Sex. I must watch it.
Super Sex. You all watch that. So the next time when we release our review of Super Sex, you won't be spoiled. I want you to know what we're talking about when we talk about it. You already know that's where we're going to go next. All right. So be ready. All right.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Kevin's waving. Good night.